How are we all going? Going well? Who's worried about the turkey that's in the oven at home at the moment? Anyone got a turkey in their oven at home? Or a pork? Or a ham? No, you're going to turn it on when you get home, yeah? Or you're going elsewhere. Who's going elsewhere today? Fantastic. Who's hosting? Okay, who wishes they were going elsewhere? Who's looking forward to the day? Okay, very good. Well, I am too. Four services, three down, this is the fourth, and I'm looking forward to about an hour's time. But what we're going to do now is very important as we look at what God has got to say to us about Christmas. So before I start, let me pray. Our Father God, we do thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you that Jesus does save, and we pray that you will give us some understanding as to what Christmas is all about now. Help us to concentrate on what you would have to teach us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When it comes to Christmas, Jesus has a credibility problem. Santa turns up every year, but for more than 2,000 years now, Jesus has not been seen. Not even once. Jesus kicked the show off all those years ago, but now Santa turns up every year, but Jesus hasn't bothered to show up again. And when you think of Santa, his track record is pretty impressive. There are at least 2 billion children under 18 in the world, but Santa doesn't handle Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist and Jewish children, so his workload is reduced to 15% of the total, a mere 378 million children. At an average rate of 3.5 children per household, that's 91.8 million homes. Santa has 31 hours of Christmas to work with, thanks to time zones and the rotation of the Earth, assuming he travels east to west. This works out to 822.6 visits per second. So for each household, Santa has 1/1,000th of a second to park, hop out, jump down that chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the gifts under the tree, eat the snacks, get back up the chimney, get back in the sleigh, and move on to the next house. If we assume that the houses are distributed evenly, we are talking about 1.25 kilometres per house. So Santa's sleigh will travel at 1,046 kilometres per second, 3,000 times the speed of sound, pretty impressive in anyone's language. And next year, as regular as clockwork, he's there again, right on the button. Santa turns up every year without fail. But how many times does the Bible tell us Jesus will come? Only twice. He came once on that first Christmas day, and he didn't bring any gifts, unlike Santa, but he only received them. And the Bible tells us that he is coming again. But year in and year out, we may hold out in hope that this will be the year, and we get to the end of another year, and nope, we think maybe next year will be the one. Is it any wonder then that scoffers come? And that is exactly what Peter wrote to a group of Christians many years ago that was read for us earlier. You must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised?" Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. That's what they said then. And that's what people say today. Where is this coming? Where is he? Do you believe that Jesus is coming back? The fact of the return of Jesus is something that doesn't get mentioned much these days. We expect Santa to be back next year, but how many of us really think that one day Jesus will come back again? But the Bible tells us that he is coming back. And so that's the first thing I want us to note this Christmas morning. The certainty of Jesus' return. This is what Peter says in verse 8 of chapter 3. "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness." Make no mistake about it, Jesus will return, says Peter, because the God that Christians follow is a God who keeps his promises. he goes on and says this, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief." You see, Jesus coming back is nothing like when Santa Claus comes. We know what it's like when Santa comes. We anticipate it for months. We know the exact day. Who can tell me when Santa's coming next year? What day is it going to be? 25th of December. I think that's a pretty good bet. Now, I could say to you, it's going to be January 9, but you know that it won't be. Hands up who thinks Santa's coming January 9 next year. Anyone want to join me for January 9? Someone's deluded like I am. But December 25th? I think, yeah, if you were going to put money on it, that's what you'd be doing, December 25th. We know when he's coming, and we know what we have to do to be ready, and usually we are, even those of us who duck out Christmas Eve to do the last-minute shopping. Now, fess up, folks, anyone out at the shops yesterday? Okay, let's find out the latest people were at the shops. Anyone still there at 6 p.m? Oh, when did they close? 5 o'clock yesterday, didn't they? Anyone there sort of around closing time? Kim Monkman at 4, okay. Okay, Andrew, I hope you get a present, buddy. But even those of us who do the last-minute shopping, we're kind of ready for when Santa comes. But know when Jesus comes back, it won't be like that. It will be like when a thief turns up, when we least expect it. See, the thief doesn't ring up and say, "Tonight's the night, it's your house tonight, I'll be there at 6, ring up the police now, be ready for me." No, he comes when we don't have a clue. And so too will it be when Jesus comes back. And so we have to be prepared for it. It can happen at any time. We don't know when. In fact, if someone says they know when Jesus is coming back, you can be sure they are wrong, for no one knows. Ever seen those calendars where it says Jesus is coming back the 19th of June, 1887? And that's crossed out. And then the 25th of September, 1969, and that's crossed out. And then the 10th of November, 2010, and that's been crossed out. And then they put another date on into the future. You know they've got it wrong. No one knows. But come back he will. The day will come like a thief, says Peter. So let us remember this Christmas, the certainty of Jesus' return. And secondly, let us remember the challenge of Jesus' return. Verse 8, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." I suspect that some of you have been sitting there saying, "If he's coming back, why doesn't he just get on with it and come?" Ever thought like that? It's a little bit like the boy that's just got his Christmas present, and he's upstairs and he's got the new computer game, and he's playing that computer game, and mum yells out, "It's dinner time," and he calls out, "I'm coming." 5 minutes later, "It's dinner time." And another 5 minutes later, "Johnny, it's dinner time. I'm coming, I'm coming," he says. She turns around and says, "Just stop coming and come." And we might think that with Jesus. Just stop coming and come, for crying out loud. Yes, why the delay is a fair enough question to ask. Peter tells us there is a very good reason for the delay. It is for our benefit, to give us time to stop trying to get right with God on our own, and to ask him for help, to give us time to do what the Bible calls repentance. And what repentance means is to stop running life your way and going the way you want to go and putting Jesus in charge and doing a U-turn and stop living for yourself and living for him and going his way. It's a time of having a fresh start. Because when Jesus returns, it will be too late to do that. You see, it's no point Kim going off to the shops today and trying to get in and buy presents on Christmas Day. It's too late. Santa's come. The time's arrived. The time does arrive when it's too late to give Christmas presents. And once the time will come when it will be too late to repent, the world will come to an end and everyone in it will be judged. But God is a God who is rich in mercy. And so he wants to give us time to turn to him. But if I can put it this way, don't push your luck. One time, it will be too late. See, Santa Claus says he has good news for those who are good. You know the song? How does it go? You better not pout, you better not cry. I'm telling you why Santa's coming to town. He knows when you've been sleeping, he knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. See, Santa has good news for those who are good, but Jesus says he has good news not just for those who are good, but those who are bad as well. And he longs for all, no matter how good or bad they are, to turn to him. And if you haven't done that yet, then what better time than Christmas 2010 to do so? To say, when someone says, when did you start following Jesus? Christmas 2010, I handed my life over to him. See, the challenge of Jesus' return is to repent. But sadly for many, we won't do that. We want to run our lives our own way and keep God out of the picture. But let us remember the challenge. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So the first thing to remember this Christmas is the certainty of Jesus' return. The second is the challenge of Jesus' return. And the third is the comfort of Jesus' return. See, if you repent, you avoid what Peter calls perishing. Instead of facing an angry God, you face a God who welcomes you into his heaven. Instead of this life being the end, life will go on in a wonderful way. And as we think of the future, this is a great comfort. For all of us, I suspect, Christmas has a tinge of sadness because of people that are not with us anymore. My Christmas last year started with a phone call where someone from my last church said that one of the members of the congregation had died suddenly that morning. And we all can remember people who in days gone by have had Christmas lunch with us. People who laughed and joked at some of the funny presents that were given. People that pulled the Christmas bonbons with us. People who reminisced with you as the discussion got around to days gone by. But this Christmas, all that we have are memories of them. But friends, the great comfort of the message of Christmas is that for the Christian, this life is not the end. For some people, when they die, it's punctuated by an exclamation mark. They die suddenly and much interest surrounds it. So Princess Diana, Michael Jackson. For others, death is just a full stop. They can pass away quietly in their sleep, and most of the world don't even know about it or care about it. But for the Christian, death is not a full stop. It is not even an exclamation mark. No, for the Christian, we know that there is more, and so death is punctuated by a comma. Death for them is nothing but a comma in their story. Life doesn't come to an end. It carries on into all of eternity. Yes, Santa will be back next year, but you can be certain that Jesus will come back one day. So the great challenge to us is to repent, to hand control of our lives over to Jesus. And if we do that, we have the great comfort of knowing that death is not the end. It is but a comma in our story. For the promise to all who repent is that they will receive life forever with the Lord Jesus in heaven. And no greater Christmas present can be given than that. So may this Christmas be a time when we remember the certainty of Jesus' return, a time when we take up the challenge of Jesus' return, and a time when we all know the comfort of Jesus' return. May the Lord bless you all this Christmas. Amen.